is the Kentucky News Network.
Our guest this morning, and we're so pleased to have Diane Saxton. Diane's kind of struggling a little bit with her throat today, but we appreciate her being willing to still be on with us. And again, a journalist with Vanity Fair and Holiday Magazine, who has covered a lot of different things as a journalist, and but is now a novelist. And she has written a book called Peregrine Island that we're going to really delve into, Diane. This book, and for my listeners, they'll say, Dan, you go that way with a lot of books, but this book makes me, you know what makes me want to do? It makes me want to be a movie producer. I want to produce this movie.
That's very interesting.
From this book.
There are some people right now that are interested in it, so.
I would think so. I mean, it intrigues my mind to think about even down to the props to use, and this painting that we're going to talk about, that'll be a lot of fun. So I don't care what time of the year it is, all the music like that, the ocean, the seagulls, the sand, the smell, all of the wonderful things that assault our senses come into play, and they certainly do in the book we're talking about this half hour with writer Diane Saxton, her novel Peregrine Island. And Diane, welcome back. I hope you magically got your throat better in those last 5 or 6 minutes.
Thank you. I'm fine.
You are. What an idea for a book. Did this kind of just flash to you in a rare moment? Was it something that kind of pieced itself together over a long period of time? How did you come up with this very novel idea? And I don't use that as a pun.
I've thought about that because, you know, even hinging on the psychic phenomena idea, I don't know where ideas come from. I think that's one of the unique things that writers have, at least a lot that I know, that ideas just occur almost organically. And I think it's almost like writing to me is almost like super-duper meditation. And I honestly don't know where they... I was in love with one painting. I don't know if you've ever looked at a painting and wondered why somebody would paint it. There's one painting that I know of, or an artist that I know of, and he only paints, from the 19th century, French, he only paints kitchens with children in them. I mean, you can... usually boys, little boys, and there's usually an animal on the boy's shoulder where he's holding it. But, I mean, painting after painting after painting. Why would anyone do that? So I think that's one reason I kept looking at one painting, wondering why it was painted, why the artist chose to paint what he painted, and who he was. And that's what started the idea for this for this novel.
What about the painting, though? Maybe we should talk about the participants first, and these three generations, and the idea of setting this story on an off island of Connecticut. You know, did that come early on? It seems like you know, when you read a book and it starts at a certain place, we think that the writer must have started there. that's, you know, we think that you wrote everything chronologically as we read it, but sometimes I know that's not always true. And I wonder about the setting of the book. Did that come right off the bat as you knew exactly where this was going to take place?
Yeah, well, I had lived on the Sound. I lived there for a long time. And if you look at the acknowledgments, I don't know if you noticed or read the... Do you have the book there?
Yeah, I sure do.
Because I open the acknowledgments with a sentence If you have ever lived on or near the water, a river, a lake, the ocean, the sound, you have come to appreciate that it can be the heartbeat of life.
Mm.
Did you see that section?
Yes,
have it there.
I have it here. And I'll read it. If you have lived on or near the water, a river, a lake, the ocean, the sound, you've come to appreciate that it can be the heartbeat of life. Once during a hurricane, I watched the water rise and advance toward my home, and I realized that there was nothing I could do to stop it. No one could. I mean, man can stop a battle, an invasion, he can fly, he can send someone to the moon, but how can he stop a tidal wave? We evacuated, and I understood then that while the ocean, in this case, the Long Island Sound, gives life in a multitude of ways, it can also take it away. And I thought it was such a privilege to live there and to witness. With that came the inspiration to write Peregrine Island. Yeah, so that's the the location was kind of the.
Sorry, my dog is barking.
What's the dog's name? What's your dog's?
They're Mighty and Mighty.
along with the location. Diane, you also were inspired by a particular piece of artwork, though.
Yes, it's on my website, actually, where you can look at it if you'd like.
And tell us about that.
Again, it's by a 19th century artist. It's a watercolor. It's a pier, and there's a man and two other, a child and someone else, and they're walking away on the pier, and I think I just wondered, with a dog, small dog, and when I kept looking at it, wondering who they were, why the artist would have painted them, and who they were, and that's, I thought it was mysterious, and I think there's a story behind paintings that people, that are interesting. I mean, there's stories and illustrations of stories, so for me, they're fascinating because there's so much to them, or there can be. Maybe there aren't in some, but the ones that I like, I think are, at least the ones I think I, that there are stories behind.
Mm. See, I'm back in movie mode now. I'm already thinking that this movie this book would need to begin as a painting on the ocean that would dissolve into reality. Scene would probably be a perfect beginning to how this thing whole starts. So the characters here, the idea of the three generations, tell us how that unfolded.
That, again, was organic. I'm very interested in how generations affect the other generation, or they don't, one or the other. And I think that's fascinating to watch them interact or not, depending, and how they're different and how that can create conflict or not. It's unusual for it not to, I think. So I tried to paint that.
Mm. It's kind of intriguing, isn't it, Diana, how as... And, you know, this is a generality, but as people get older, there are many instances that take, a parent and then a grandparent from points in life of love and nurturing and caring to somewhat sometimes become more introverted about themselves and an element almost of suspicion of that same person that they have loved and nurtured, that as now they get to a point of needing that loving and nurturing, that it might not be there.
Could you, I don't really understand what you said.
Yeah.
I think I do, but could you?
Yeah, I can go do it again, because I think it's really important to the story that as we start out, we have this love and nurturing toward young people, toward a son or a daughter or children, and then and then grandchildren as they come about. As we get older, there is this element of where we sometimes cross a border into a point of we still have that love, but now we become that individual who needs the nurturing and love that we have given, and through the sense that it may not be there, it leads to, you know, some things that we don't even understand or would not think we would even consider, like being, you know, sometimes a little bit suspicious that those people that we care so much about, that do they really care about us? Are they really going to into taking care of us now?
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I think that goes both ways, too. And I also think that within families, feelings are magnified. Don't you? I think, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to write about that.
Yeah.
Because of the magnification of feelings. I also think that within families, you have love, certainly, but there's usually a lot of other feelings mixed in. I mean, there can be resentment, there can be admiration, hatred, even in some families, or a love-hate kind of thing. So I think it's jealousy. And I agree with you that as people age, that can happen. Both in both ways. So, and the more they age, and the more they need the love that they thought that they had and don't have, or that they do have, and that for some reason that people don't have time, or whatever the reason might be. So I did try and illustrate all that.
In the book, we have wonderful descriptions of this ocean setting, the seaside setting, but at the same time, I think it is beautiful, and you almost want to be there. But then there's such a great amount of realism as you intertwine the heat of the moment, the suppression or the existence of those things that aren't so good about being next to the ocean and being hot, and that's wonderfully woven in to the book. I think they give it such a real feel. And then these three primary characters, the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter. And I wonder, in writing about that, was it a lot easier to write about any one of the three? Did you feel like you connected with more so with one of the three?
Yes, I did. Which one do you think I did? I loved it.
Well, I want to think that maybe it was that it would not be the grandmother or the granddaughter, that you might have fallen in the middle of the deal in terms of relationship. I just try to put myself in terms of being a writer. You're probably going to tell me that that's not correct, and that'll be fine. I'll be interested to hear who you did connect the most with.
I guess I don't know whether it was connecting or enjoy. I enjoyed writing the granddaughter, the child, the most. I loved her imagination. Somebody asked me recently if I missed these characters. And I was on a panel with two other authors. This happened to be for mysteries. And I don't know that mysteries are my forte, but the other two just came out with thrillers. And both of them said absolutely not, that they were dreadful characters, their characters. And as for me, though, I do miss them, which is odd, I guess. At least they thought it was odd. I especially miss the child. Because I thought, and the old man, that's one theme that I did go into, and I don't know if you noticed that or not. Mm-hmm. The very old and the very young.
The innocence
and the wisdom of both.
Yeah, there's an element of appreciation for the generations that comes out through the book. I think even though there are, I don't know, I guess we could say, as in real life, there are negatives about all the generations, but there are reasons to to connect in a very positive way with all of the generations as well. At certain points in the book, don't you? It is written in such that we would find different these three individuals at different times would all be kind of our heroes a little bit.
Definitely. That's very good. You're the only person that said that, but that's very true. And I did try and show that there's usually good in everybody, and they are each heroes in their own way. Oh, that's very good. I like that.
What the length of time that it took you to write this book, how long did you pour over it and make it? How long did it take to make it happen?
About 2 years, yes.
And that,
about 2 years. I had written or was trying to, I was trying to write, I should say, a very large book that I've almost finished with now. And I got so bogged down in the research that I thought I'll just write two books that are straight fiction. And this is the first of those two books. It was fun. I love historical fiction, but I did get very bogged down in the research with it.
Yeah. Before you tell us about that book, in terms of the audience that you think will connect with this book, who do you think that will be with Peregrine Island?
You know, that's interesting, too. Look, my throat's beginning to feel better. I just got a call from a museum, an art museum in Canada, where they've taken this book and they have book groups. And that, which I thought, that's such a good idea. I wish people in this country would do that, art museums. I don't know if they do. Maybe they do, and I'm not aware of it. But they have groups where they study different books about art, and they discuss them. And they picked up this book, Peregrine Island, which I thought was so great. I think that's, and I would never have thought that. I think that's wonderful. So that was one aspect, I guess, one reader. A lot of the people that seem to like this are, for the most part, knowledgeable readers. And it's a literary mystery, so it's not commercial. Although it has attracted some people who do like commercials, so I can't really say that. But it is a literary mystery. It won two awards for literary fiction. Actually, it's won 5 awards, so that's great, too.
As a, as a kind of a self-published type of book, independent published book, I guess I should say, how about the marketing of this book? Yeah, how have you found that the marketing has been? What have been the approaches you've taken with this book?
This
yes,
publisher
is
kind of a heavy hitter. They're great. It's a women's publisher. It's really not self-publishing, and the publisher hails out of a very literary publisher, and they attract very good writers. So that's why I went with them. The publicity's been a climb, I should say. I might have gotten more feedback, I guess, with one of the big five publishers. But these people have been very helpful, I have to say. This publisher, they've been very good, helping. I mean, and they have a publicity arm that I did not use, which if I go with them again, I will use, definitely. Because they're attracting very, very good quality books, and that's what I liked about them and what I still like about them. Unlike a lot of the big five who kind of go for the biggest sellers, which I didn't want. I wanted more quality versus quantity, if that makes sense.
Mm. Have you been told that you could have appeared on a sitcom, that you could have been Patricia Richardson on Home Improvement? Has anybody ever, you know, compared your appearance to her?
No, I don't know who she is.
Well, the television show, the sitcom Home Improvement, and Patricia Castle Richardson was the female lead in that show. And check it out. See if you don't think y'all might be sisters and don't know it or something. I think.
Really?
Yeah. There's a
nobody's ever said that.
A connection between the two of you. Okay. What's the next work now? What are you going to come out with next?
My two. The one that I'm finishing now is the big historical novel. I interviewed a lot of people for that, and I think that's why I got so bogged down in it. I interviewed people. The oldest, I think, was 110. And I just got, you know, I got really close to some of these people. Too close, I think. And it spans, I guess, 1898, 1896 to 1950. That should be coming out, I hope, by next year, if I can ever finish the editing. I'm trying to cut the book now, cut it down right now.
Okay. Hey, we'll...
So that's one, and another one that will be similar to Paragon Island, but it's the basis is really medical. I have been asked to do a sequel to this, though, which I am thinking about. What do you think? Do you think that would be good or not?
I was trying to think about that. I don't know. For some reason, I think that this book does not, you know, the sequel is there, and yet, I don't know, for the literary world of the future, I just think I leave it there. Let the, some things, the imagination is better than, trying to fill in the imagination, I think. And I think I'd rather see you spend your time on some other things, maybe, than a sequel.
I'm glad you said that.
Well, it's been a delight. This book is it's a book that I think will have legs to it. I don't know how the sales have been so far, but I really sense that this is one of those books that as time goes on, everybody who reads it will want to pass it on. Will want to say, "Well, I read a fascinating book, Peregrine Island," and you'll lose some sales because people will say, "Well, let me share this book with you," and that happens. But it's at the end of the day, and for book clubs, I can't imagine that book clubs all over the place aren't going to latch on to Peregrine Island and. Say, well, this is going to be a great book to discuss, and it's a very good literary work. I think it will get a lot of positive feedback, not just immediately, but as time goes on. I think you've done a really good work. It's really a fascinating novel, and thank you so much.
Thank you.